We're going to look at verses 15 through 20. You're going to see Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. The topic is false prophets, and you might think to yourself, well, that doesn't have to be too much for me to concern myself with this morning. But when you get to verse 16 and verses 17 through 20, you find out some things about trees that apply to all of us. I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But we're going to begin with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I grew up in West Texas when I was in high school, lived in a little town called Alpine, which is right in the center of the Big Bend country. A lot of ranching out there. Some people had cattle, but a lot of sheep. Now, this is in the 1970s. People weren't quite as conservation-minded as they are now, but there still was an outcry because the ranchers kept losing sheep to the wolves. But when the ranchers shot the wolves, that was illegal. You couldn't kill a wolf because that's hunting, and so the ranchers were very frustrated. My father knew a man that was a biologist. His name was Mr. McBride. He was a very, very, very capable man. And he specialized in one kind of wolf. It was called a gray wolf. And he invented a collar. And they'd put this collar on the sheep. And when the wolf would bite the collar, it would kill the wolf. And obviously, if the wolf gets killed that way, he was guilty. And so the man was very successful with these collars. And he actually had behind his house, he had a cage back there, and he had several gray wolves in that cage. One day, a man that had written a book about wolves, about the gray wolf, in fact, came to visit Mr. McBride because he was thinking that'd be something that he could use to further his profession. And he was sitting in Mr. McBride's living room, and they heard a howling sound, and the man said, "What's that sound?" And Mr. McBride says, "You don't know what that is? You wrote a book about gray wolves and you never have heard one?" The man said, "I've never seen one." He said, "Come back here, let me show you something." Took him back and showed him in the cage those three wolves and explained to him how they prey on sheep. And I don't know if you knew it or not, but that is a wolf's favorite food, is animals with hooves. They like sheep. You'll see the illustration here in just a minute. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the entire passage and have a word of prayer. And we're going to look at false prophets and the laws of trees. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, I pray that you would allow me to preach the Word of God clearly and that folks would hear it accurately and understand what it means and be able to apply it to their lives. Lord, more than that, we pray the Holy Spirit would use the Word of God today to speak to the lives of the people here in this room. Help us to understand the warning that is given and to realize that in our day, we are surrounded by false prophets, that it's more prominent today than it ever has been before. I pray now that you'd have your will, and I pray for each one here that they'd understand the meaning of salvation. Not just that Christ died for their sins, but that Christ died to save them from their sins. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets." It's a warning. I hope you're a student of the Bible. I hope you've read, for example, in the days of Jeremiah, the days of Isaiah, that when Isaiah and Jeremiah were prophesying that God was about to judge Israel, there were false prophets in that day that were telling the people, Isaiah is a liar, Jeremiah is a liar, don't worry about a thing, God has promised to bless you, God has promised to bless this land, and they were accusing Isaiah and Jeremiah of misleading and discouraging the people. Because people don't like to hear that they've done wrong and they're going to be judged for it. In those days, you saw more than one occasion to where one of those prophets was struck dead by the Lord. And you may think to yourself, I wish God would do that again. That is not the way God works in our day. But those people will give an accounting of themselves one day. The Bible talks about wolves quite often. And just see two or three things here in verse 15 as we begin this morning. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, that's an interesting picture in your mind of a wolf covered perhaps in an outfit that makes him look like a sheep. But you understand, I think, exactly what that verse means. There are people today that are telling you that they know Christ, that they speak on behalf of Christ, that they're preaching the Word of God, and they are pretending to be sheep. They're pretending to be Christians, and they're giving people lies. The ultimate intent that those people have is to devour. They are ravening wolves. The wolf is an interesting animal. If you read up a little bit on wolves, first of all, wolves don't like to have to chase their prey. Wolves depend more on surprise. They like to be in the right place at the right time. They like to catch their prey at a disadvantage, maybe when the snow is deep or when they're on an uneven terrain where the animal can't run quite so fast. And they like to sneak up on them and get them when they're not suspecting. The wolf likes to pick out, for example, the animal that's going to be weak or that's going to be sick, that may be on the outside of the herd, and pick that one off. And I want you to know, today, the false prophets that we see all around us are doing that very same thing. There are people, one of them, for example, and I wish I could name many of them. I'll name a few today. One of them would be a man like Joel Osteen. You say, well, Pastor, he sells a lot of books. He's got a lot of money. I think he's got an $11.5 million estate somewhere. He's got a jet airplane. Surely a man that's got those kind of things is somebody that God is using. I want to tell you something. I'm just about 100% guarantee you, if they've got a jet airplane, they're not preaching the truth. It's really quiet. Let me try to help you a little bit. Listen to me. People don't like to hear the truth quite so much anymore, do they? And so what if a fellow would stand up and say, oh, God loves everybody. God doesn't care about your sin. God just wants you to be rich. People like to hear that. It's a lie. Listen to me. God's going to make us, quote unquote, rich, but your riches are in heaven, not here. The Bible says the poor have you with you always. The Bible also says you lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. If God gives you enough money to buy a jet airplane, I strongly recommend you tithe on it. And then I wouldn't be surprised if it's a good idea for you to send some missionaries to the field, perhaps, support your local church, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't seen God working that way amongst people preaching the truth. I've seen a lot of people saying things to try to get people to follow them so that they can thicken their pocketbooks, if you will. Look at what the Bible says about these folks in verse 15. He says, beware. First of all, beware. There's a danger. Now, just in case you don't understand, we are surrounded by buildings that call themselves churches that conduct services just like I just described. And they may mention the blood of Christ even. They may mention the cross. But their real motive is to have followers. And so they say things people want to hear. Folks, don't follow me. Follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And if I don't preach this book, go find somebody that does. Amen? And listen to me. Just a few words in this book, understood correctly, are more valuable than all the lies all these people can tell you all day long. They may have a great motivational story. They may encourage you to work harder at your job. That's fine if they do. But at the end of the day, what are they producing? That's the question he asks. The false prophet, he's going to come to you in sheep's clothing. He's not going to tell you he's a Satanist. They're out there, I know. But he's going to be pretending to be a Christian. Inwardly, he is a ravening wolf. He is seeking an opportunity to devour. How are you going to know him from? How are you going to know those people apart from people that are preaching the truth? And the question is, what is the product? That's where we come to, I just use that little fun phrase, the law of trees, because he says in verse 16 through 20, exactly what you can do to tell if someone's a false prophet. Now, please understand what I'm about to say. I say this a lot. Don't get tired of hearing it. God saved you not so you could live in sin. God saved you from your sin. Holiness is not a bad thing. Holiness, righteousness, godliness, that's what God wants in our life. God wants to give us victory over sin. God does not want to give us victory so we can live in sin. That's not victory, that's defeat. You need to spend some time working with an alcoholic that has lost everything, or a drug addict that's lost everything, or a person whose crimes have cost them everything, and then ask them how pleasant sin is. Sin is what kills. Sin is what hurts people. Sin is what the Bible is meant to deliver us from, not to allow us to live in. If somebody stands up and tells you you can live any way you want, what they're doing is they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure what that word means. Lasciviousness is the idea that you can do anything you want to. Someone said, in fact, a man wrote a book. His name is Chuck Swindle. And he wrote a book, and it's called Amazing Grace. And what the book essentially says is this: it's a great thing you're saved. Now you can sin all you want because God paid for your sins. Folks, that's wicked. That is not what God saved you for. If the result is not holiness, I'm just going to go ahead and get myself in trouble. Do you realize that 40 years ago, if you had attended a Catholic church, you had about a 1 in 20 chance of having a priest that was molesting children? Don't tell me the Catholic Church is producing righteousness. Now, that's not just anybody's number. That's the Catholic Church's number. That's their estimate. I wonder what the real number is. Say, well, Pastor, there's a lot of Baptists that have done that too. If they have, they're wicked people. What kind of fruit are they producing if they're doing that sort of thing? No, folks, we should be righteous people, and we should be producing people that are righteous. Let's look at these laws of the tree just a little bit. I'll just show you three of them. And let's begin in verse 16. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He's talking about the false prophets. "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so," verse 17, "every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." Would you read that with me, please? "Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." It's interesting. Trees, in fact, he goes on and he says this very plainly. a tree is known by its fruit. For example, if there is a tree in your yard and it produces oranges, it's called an orange tree. It's not called an apple tree or a peach tree. It's called an orange tree because it produces oranges. If in Salt Lake City, I had two apple trees in my yard. And I knew they were apple trees because they had apples on them. I have had a cherry tree in my front yard. I knew it was a cherry tree because it had cherries on it. Now here's my question. What are you producing? Amen? What's the false prophet produce? Well, he's got a lot of money. He's got a jet. He's got a nice house. Is he producing Christians? Is he producing people that are righteous? Is he producing missionaries that are going out around the world and preaching the gospel? Folks, I appreciate, we have today from our church, you need to pray for Marguerite Mendez. She and Tom Jensen are in Uganda, and they're going to go over there and do a medical ministry, and they're also going to give folks the gospel while they're there. I'm glad they're doing that. That is a great thing to do, but I want you to understand something. The church's primary mission is to take the gospel to the world. Amen. Amen? Now, we may use some other tools to do that, like medical missions, but it is the gospel we take to the world. You say, Pastor, some people went to a foreign country and built some houses. I'm glad they did that. But our mission is to take the gospel to the world. If you start looking at what people are producing, you can tell what they are. If you see what kind of fruit they have, that's who they are. That's what they do. Look at verse 17. He says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree is going to produce something. He says, a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Every tree produces some kind of fruit. What kind of fruit is our church producing? This week, as we went out on vacation Bible school, we had a lot of activity. We ran the bus. I think we must have given away. All I know is this. In my office, there were 1,000 water bottles. Now there are about 40. We gave away a lot of water last week. We drank a lot of water last week. We gave a lot of... we had popcorn Friday night. How many of you took popcorn home Friday night? A lot of popcorn went home Friday night. Even workers took popcorn home. We had some games in here. I've got an office full of pennies. We had a penny offering. There was a lot of that going on. But that's not why we were here. We were here because this book is the truth. We're here because this book changes lives. I've seen something that kind of breaks my heart. It does break my heart. I've seen some young people. I'm talking young people, 11, 12, 13, maybe 10. That have come to church and they've heard the Bible and they've decided they would rather go out and have fun than hear some more of the Bible. That breaks my heart because they're making choices in their life, aren't they? And they're choosing pleasure, they're choosing wickedness in some cases, they're choosing the entertainment over the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I hope these young people here today understand that. We love them. We want them to have a good time. And we sure enjoyed playing games last week and all the things that we did. But that's not why we're here. We're here because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to produce Christians. And Christians, as we heard in Sunday school, are a product of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, Pastor, I teach and I preach the Bible, and it seems like folks aren't interested. I'm interested. You're interested, amen? We're here for that reason. That's why we're here. And that's the kind of fruit we want to produce. You say, well, Pastor, if we had a rock band and we had a whole lot of excitement, maybe we'd have a bigger crowd. That's not what we're trying to produce, folks. If you want to get excited, go to a basketball game or something like that sometime. But if you want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, come to church. If they call it a church and they entertain you, that's not church. That's not the right kind of fruit. That's a false prophet. People are going to die and go to hell listening to those people thinking they heard the truth when they heard the lie. Trees are known by the kind of fruit they produce. Every tree produces some kind of fruit. It is impossible for a tree to produce another kind of fruit. Let me read you the verse, and I'll try and explain that to you if I could. He says in verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Do you believe the Bible? Amen. Let me read that verse again, see if you believe that verse. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You might think, well, maybe there's an exception to that. I don't think so. Now, I have a tree in my yard, and they have grafted onto it some other kinds of trees. They call this tree a fruit cocktail. It produces lemons. Don't we all have enough lemons, amen? It produces limes. It produces grapefruit. And it would have produced oranges, but that part died. So now I got a three-part tree on one root ball. But that is not the way trees work. If you have a tree and you plant a seed and it grows up, it's going to produce one kind of fruit. When you heard the gospel and you received the Lord Jesus Christ, what did Peter say? He said that you are a product of a seed. Aren't you? You heard the word of God and you believed it. And this is not corrupt seed. Amen. And that seed that you grew from is going to make you a Christian. And that's a word today that is so misused. So I'm going to use a different word. It's going to make you righteous. Amen. It's going to make you holy. Amen. Listen to me. So when you produce, you're not going to produce unrighteousness. You're not going to produce an unrighteous result. You're going to produce righteousness. That's the way God intended for it to be. Have you ever wondered how the gospel has continued to be preached after almost 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified? So the Holy Spirit has continued to produce fruit that produces fruit that produces fruit, just the same as there were apple trees a long time ago. I don't think it was an apple tree in the garden, by the way, but that's another matter. But as long as there have been apple trees, they've been producing apple trees. And folks, Christians are still producing Christians. Amen? Are you producing any fruit? There's one final thing, and I'll be done. Look at verse 19. He says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, couple that with verse 18, if you will, and help. Let me help you just a little bit. Trees produce something. I know once in a while you and I have seen a tree that didn't have any fruit on it. But you're producing something in your life. The Bible says you're either gathering or scattering. You're either bringing folks closer to the Lord or you're driving folks away. And the Bible says this is God's opinion of it, and it's man's opinion as well. If I've got a tree in my yard, and especially in Arizona where water costs a lot of money, I got a tree in my yard and I'm watering that thing and I'm feeding that thing and it's not producing anything, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not talking about shade trees, talking about fruit trees, and get one that does produce. Amen? But quite often we misunderstand. You're going to produce something. In your life, you're going to produce something. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not doing anything. No, if you're not serving God, then you're discouraging other folks from serving God.
That's right.
If you're not going to church, you're discouraging other folks from going to church.
Yeah.
You're producing something. If you don't have a good spirit, it's contagious. You're causing other folks not to have a good spirit. He says in verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There is a place called hell. And there is a judgment day coming. And every one of us is going to be judged. There are two judgments. There is a judgment of the lost. That is the great white throne judgment. And the lost are going to stand before God and be judged by those things written in the books. And the Bible says, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into a lake of fire. Now, the fellow on TV that wants you to be rich, thinks God's going to make you rich or says that to you, he's not going to tell you a whole lot about hell. In fact, he may tell you there is no hell. We were studying the other day. We were talking about a fellow, and I have a book in my library written by this man. And he says that hell doesn't exist yet. I want you to know something. Hell exists. And I want you to know something. People are dying and going there. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be one of them if you don't receive him as your Savior. And I never have thought I could scare people into getting saved, but I do know it's a scary thing. But I want you to understand something. When God saved you, he gave you that characteristic, that trait, that ability, that objective, if you will, to produce something. To reach people for Christ. We knock on a door and it breaks my heart. Once again, I was driving down the road today and I saw some people and they had a couple of children with them. And I thought maybe those children would ride the bus. Maybe those children would come to church and they'd hear the gospel and get saved and be spared from the fires of hell. And then maybe we could reach their family. And then they got in the car and they went somewhere else. It breaks your heart. We're not going to give up. Amen. But the bottom line is this, you are either helping gather those folks in, you're either producing some fruit or you're not. And there will be a day when people are going to be judged. Let me put this all together nice and tight and we'll finish up. Back in verse 16, he says, you're known by your fruits. The false prophet is known by his fruits. In verse 17, every tree produces some kind of fruit. In verse 18, that's the only kind of fruit it's going to produce. In verse 19, if it's producing the wrong kind of fruit, it's going to be cast into the fire. And he reminds us in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. I used to live in Carlsbad, New Mexico before I lived in West Texas. I grew up, I was in elementary school there. And there's a street in Carlsbad, if you ever go there, it's called Lee Street, L-E-A, named after somebody, I suppose. And you drive down Lee Street, and there are beautiful, beautiful trees all along the west side of the street for quite a long ways, and they had fruit on them. And the fruit that they had on them was crab apples. You ever seen a crab apple? They are not, these crab apples, I've heard somebody talk about eating those things. You don't want to eat these crab apples. They are big, and they're kind of bumpy looking on the outside, and they're green, and they're absolutely inedible. And I look at that row of trees as I drive down there, and I remember when I was a little boy, I thought, surely you can eat that. I mean, look at how nice and it's so beautiful. And there it is right there on the ground just waiting for somebody to pick it up. You know why? Because it's worth nothing. And those trees, I guess they left them there for the shade. But as far as the product is concerned, the product was tasteless. It was inedible. Was not good for you. It wasn't going to do anybody any good. Why? If you're saved here today, say amen.
Amen.
Why did God save you? Say, God saved me to keep me out of hell because he loved me. A good answer. There's more to it than that, isn't there? Why did God save you? He saved you so you could produce fruit. He saved you so that you could go out and you could win somebody else to Christ. How am I going to do that? Well, you're going to start out by coming to church and learning more about God. Amen?
Amen.
And then you're going to pray and ask God to strengthen you and to give you the courage and the wisdom to go out and talk to somebody. And then you're going to tell somebody about Christ.
Amen.
You may do it going door to door. I hope you do. We're going to go out Tuesday. We're going to go out Saturday. Come with us.
Amen.
But it's not just that. I see a lot of young people here today. These young people have friends that I'll never meet. Brother Mendez may never meet them. We might bump into them trying to get the bus route built up, but chances are they're not going to listen to me a whole lot, but they'd listen to these young people. Amen? These young people here can produce fruit. I got Joey back here. I got Andrew back here. Andrew is my bus worker right now. Andrew, we were riding, taking the bus back home this week, and I just want you to know I can read a map, but I can't see a map. My glasses are on the podium. I'm helpless. And Andrew would say, stop here. And he was right. And after a while, I quit reading the map. I just started saying, Andrew, is this the one? Yep, stop here. No, keep going, Pastor. This is not the right house. He could guide me. But do you understand these young people can guide their friends? This is the right way. Amen?
Amen.
It's the right place. Come to church with me. Say, well, they don't have a lot of fun over there. We do have a lot of fun. But we're not here just to have fun. We're here for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, what about the older folks here? Again, there's people you can reach. I won't ever bump into them. Family members, co-workers, neighbors. Folks, let's produce some fruit. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and praise God. All your sins have been paid for. Do you understand how that works? He died on the cross. He took your sins upon him. He gave you his righteousness if you're saved. And when you stand before God, God will see the righteousness of Christ. When you stand before God and he sees Christ's righteousness, there are no sins to be seen. When Christ hung on that cross, God didn't see the righteousness of Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross, God saw your sin. So you stand before God one day with no sin. Is that all there is to it? No. The question is, where's your fruit? Amen?
Amen?
But the parable of the sower, expecting a result. What about the parable of the talents, the 2 and the 5 and the 10, expecting a result? What are you producing? Amen? We're really quick, and rightly so, to say, that fellow's a false prophet. The Joel Osteens, the Rick Warrens, the Popes of the world, I could name them until we ran out of time, until my memory fails me, but those people out there that are preaching a prosperity theology because they want to be prosperous. And we understand they're not producing the right kind of fruit. And folks, beware. I've seen Christians in our church in Maryland, for example, some folks got really enamored with this one false prophet, and it caused a lot of trouble. You say, what happened to them? They wound up not in church. What does that mean, Pastor? They're not producing any fruit. They have been devoured by the wolf. Somebody here, if you're not careful, you'll be devoured by the wolf. Look at their fruit. See if they got the right Bible. Amen? Amen. Folks, if they got the wrong Bible, there's a big problem. Stop right there. If they got the wrong gospel, there's a big problem. Stop right there. If they got the wrong message, if their message is not about righteousness, stop right there. If they stand up and say, it's okay to be as wicked as you want, and don't worry about that. God loves everybody. He does. He died to save you from your sin, not in your sin. If they don't tell you that, stop right there. And we can judge those folks, and you better. But don't forget to judge yourself. What kind of fruit are you producing? Amen?